Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, who is a Harvard economist and the economist with the American Institute of Architecture. Kermit, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to be with you. So we're about to end up the 2014 year. I'd like to take a look at what you think is going to happen in 15. But before we do that, let's talk about the billing index. The billing index, which actually shows what architects actually invoiced, peaked in July. I mean, went way up over 55. And then the August report is down just a little bit. It's 53, still over 50, which is positive, but a little bit of a dip. So talk about that, if you would.
I think the takeaway, you know, July, August, September numbers, Kemp, were all really quite strong. And I think those three numbers for the third quarter of this year produced the strongest billings numbers that we've seen since the downturn began. So I think that certainly is very encouraging that the broader construction industry is, you know, really on the road to recovery. We're seeing it at design firms now, seeing it at architecture firms. So I think we'll see it in construction numbers as we move into 2015, particularly on the non-residential side. I mean, the residential side, we are in the midst of this recovery already, but I think we're going to see it really broaden its base pretty significantly as we move into 2015.
You also track design contracts, which are up. So when all of that movement is moving the way it's moving, what does it tell you?
I think particularly the design contracts, as we've talked about, Kemp, in the past, are an index that we just introduced this past spring. And that shows, you know, really solid new work coming into architecture firms. The inquiries are a little bit of a softer measure, which is why we introduced the design contracts. And, you know, the difference between design contracts and billings, you know, as you suggest, billings is sort of work going out the door, and in design contracts is work coming in. You know, the difference between those is really the backlog that firms are building up, and the fact that design contracts have been stronger than billings recently, even though the billings numbers have been very healthy, does suggest there is a buildup in backlogs, that there's going to be a good buffer for future work moving forward. So all of that points to, I think, really, you know, healthier conditions at architecture firms, and therefore stronger construction activity in the future.
You know, since I've talked to you last, I went to the Starnet meeting. Starnet is a U.S. and Canadian group of commercial flooring contractors, and most of their work is specified. And they're very upbeat right now because of what they see in the pipeline. They think that the year to come is going to be very strong. But at the same time, August, this past August, was almost disappeared. It was very soft. Any commentary about that?
Well, not sure about August, but it's been a funny year. I mean, it's been kind of a surprisingly poor year in some respects for the residential market. You know, when we started the year, most forecasters were calling for a 20-25% increase in home building activity. You know, it's going to come in a lot closer to 10%. You know, we're seeing kind of similar disappointing performance on the home improvement front too. It's a little bit of, you know, two steps forward, one step back, I think, Kim. Just, you know, we don't have enough momentum entering the year. And, you know, the first quarter was really pretty poor because of weather. We're not seeing sustained numbers. You know, they are looking better entering 2015, but, you know, that's been the story of this recovery, I think, so far. It's just really can't gain the traction that we'd like to see.
Let's look at 15 for a minute. These things we're looking at right now, obviously everybody knows about what happened in Washington. We've got a Republican majority in both the Senate and the House. We have QE, which is ended, which, you know, that basically means interest rates are poised to go up. And we've got low oil prices. That adds to the consumer's pocketbook because they have more money, more disposable income in their wallet. So aren't you thinking that 15 is laid out to be a pretty good looking year?
Yeah, I think it will be. You know, there's always the potential downsides, always the risk, but I think you're right, the fundamentals look good. I mean, the GDP numbers have looked very good over the last couple quarters, so we are entering the year with some stronger numbers. You know, unemployment rate is falling, job growth has been pretty healthy. The oil, as you mentioned, is a huge plus from the consumer's perspective. Interest rates are a bit of a wild card. You mentioned the end of the Fed's buying long-term bonds. So that means that we're going to see long rates begin to drift up, as you suggested. The sense is that probably around mid-year 2015, the Fed is going to begin raising short-term rates. If that happens, then those are going to begin to drift up too. So we've got some problems we're going to be dealing with moving forward. But I think you're right that there's more positives out there than there are negatives at present.
One of the things that's holding us back is this turnover of housing. I don't know if it's a social function, a generational function, or whether people are just holding back and we're going to see all kinds of goodness. What's your take on that?
You're right. The mobility rates, the turnover rates are down. And part of that is that our country's getting older and old folks move less than young folks. A big part of it, I think, is the young folks that should be moving are not. I mean, they're really not forming households. They're not buying homes. I think the downturn has been particularly devastating for the millennial generation. That's what it takes to get the housing market moving again. You got to get those entry-level buyers out there buying homes so that folks can trade up to nicer homes, and builders need to build more homes. And that has been a huge missing gap in this recovery. Just the difficulties of young households being able to navigate the housing market. We've heard a lot about student loan debt. We've heard a lot about problems with the labor market. I think all those are coming together, and younger households are just not able to play the role in the housing market that previous generations have played, and that's a huge stumbling block.
Earlier this year, you and I talked about Fannie Mae and all of the difficulties it is to secure a loan and how the government was going to look at that. Are we going to see any easing there where it might be a little easier for somebody to buy a home?
Well, you're talking about, I think, two related issues there. Credit restrictions have been pretty tight. Banks are just very hesitant to lend to marginal buyers and demanding higher down payments, better credit scores, and things like that. And that has limited the ability of some folks to afford home ownership. Sort of a separate issue are these, as you referred to, the GSEs, the government-sponsored enterprises,
right.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that buy these mortgages and put them into the secondary market, sell them to pension funds and things like that to keep liquidity in the process. And a lot of talk about, are they going to be phased out? Are they going to be privatized? What's going to happen to them? That's made a lot of folks nervous because, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac currently are responsible for overwhelming majority of mortgages in terms of purchasing and repackaging them. So, if anything happened to those, it would be a huge blow to the housing market. I think people understand that, and we aren't going to see any changes until we have a new system in place. It certainly is a huge concern for the industry.
One last topic is consumer sentiment. We're getting ready to get into this Christmas buying season. It's one of those unknowns, but I think it has a major bearing. What's your take on where that might end up?
Well, I think it's strengthening. It's strengthening because of the labor market, and we talked about the falling unemployment rate, about job growth. For those consumers that own stocks, stock market at record highs, you pointed out energy costs, oil prices. We just got a little bonus there. Every time we pull into the gas station and fill up, a little bit less out of our pocket. So I think we're at a good time now in terms of how consumers are feeling about things. And as you point out, particularly fortunate since we're entering a time of the year when a lot of spending occurs. So you want them to feel comfortable around the holiday season in terms of their spending patterns.
All right, Kermit. Well, it's good to spend time with you. Again, been talking to Kermit Baker, Harvard economist, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.